With last night's passage in the House of a national stimulus bill, we're beginning to get at least a general sense of its size and shape and what it might mean to Indiana. And we've been working very hard and want to work with the legislature to make sure that when that bill happens in perhaps 2 or 3 weeks, Indiana is the smartest and fastest state at using it to improve the economy and, we hope, bring some people back to work. Now, we need more information, of course. We need to see a final bill, which undoubtedly will be something different than what the House passed. And I want to know more about our own Indiana revenue. Now, it's only been in December that we got a new and lower estimate, but my reading of the national and world economy, even in the 2 months since the experts prepared that, is that things have gotten materially worse everywhere. And I reluctantly conclude that there's a very good chance that even these lowered numbers will be lower still when 2010 and 11 and 12 arrive. And so now, with that in mind, let me just make a few comments about our view toward the stimulus program, which Indiana will have, and the way we're preparing for it. First of all, it's so critical to remember that although this is a breathtaking size, perhaps $4 to $5 billion coming to the state just through a portion of the stimulus, it is one-time money, and it must be used for one-time purposes. There is an enormous danger of building a cliff if we allow this to come into the ongoing base of state government. In 2 years, when it's not there anymore, we would have to make massive cuts in order to make ends meet. Incidentally, there is an exactly parallel situation facing Indiana education, because well over $1 billion of the stimulus will flow straight to schools. That's good news, because they'll be financially stronger than they could have ever imagined. But it won't be good news if they simply spend all that money and commit to new levels of spending, which will be completely unsustainable 2 years from now. So one-time money, one-time spending has got to be a rule that we all try to apply. And what we will want to do is to straighten these lines so there's not a big cliff and catastrophic cuts facing the state 2 and 3 years from now. Let me step back and make a point that I think is obvious to you, but this federal stimulus bill was designed for the states that are in catastrophic emergencies now. In many, many states, they need every penny of this just to get back to zero, just to get back to the level of service that they have been trying to provide. And so it presents a very complicated situation for a state that is able to pay its bills presently. It would take us well above today's spending, and we just need to make sure not to act as though that temporary state of affairs was going to continue on forever. We have been at work and visiting with members of the General Assembly, with economic experts, business people, about the best way to use this stimulus asset for more jobs. Just to give you some of the flavor of that, there will be, it appears, something in the neighborhood of $1.5 billion to $2 billion that we will be able to spend on building things. Transportation, including mass transit. Education, both K-12 and higher ed. Clean water, weatherization, and then other things that we might choose. Flood control might be a good example. And our plan is to be out of the gate as fast as any state in obligating these funds and getting the project started. Another purpose for which some of this money could be used is keeping taxes down. Now, the worst thing that could happen to a struggling economy and the businesses in it is to add to their tax burdens and make it harder for them to keep people on the payroll or call somebody back from a layoff. Our intention is to be as smart as possible about making sure these dollars go to jobs, not to somebody's political pet project, not to something that is not related to economic growth, and to move very fast. Next week, NDOT will formally invite bids on a whole host of projects, which we will be pulling forward, contingent, of course, on the passage of the bill. Likewise, IFA will be inviting bids on clean water projects, which we will begin saying yes to as fast as that process can move. Our people in housing are already contacting home builders who have idle capacity right now to see if they would like to participate in this very large weatherization program, which the bill will make possible. So we're not waiting for the bill. We intend to come right out of the starting blocks as soon as the president signs one. One other thing, there are billions available to Indiana potentially beyond the dollars I've just been talking about, grants of all kinds. This no one has ever seen anything like this legislation. And I've asked Mitch Robe, the Secretary of Commerce, and his team to be the lead in identifying opportunities for Indiana universities, Indiana communities, Indiana perhaps nonprofits, Indiana businesses, so that we compete aggressively for opportunities there, always with the goal of putting people to work. I hope that we will, as the legislation federally moves toward finality, that we will evolve and shape up a overall approach in Indiana that that is everyone has had a say in and that everybody can feel positive about. Well, substantial, and you know, we're going to have to weigh a couple things. We want to move quickly, as I say. And by the way, the legislation insists on it. We will lose money. Any state will lose money if it doesn't move fast. Moving fast may actually lead to more money coming here, because some states, I'm convinced, are going to default on some of the, just because they can't get organized to pick their projects and move quickly. But in terms of the broadest outlines here. How much we invest, how much we use to keep taxes down, questions like that, that'll have to all be worked out mutually, and I'm very hopeful from our early conversations that it will be.
Are you considering using some of the money that's been set aside for budget aid for one-time state tax cuts?
Say it again.
There's a portion of money set aside for state budget.
Oh, I see. If it directly leads to jobs, yes. You know, put another way, we certainly want to try to avoid any taxes going up. It's be the worst time of all for that. So yes, I think there, just as the national bill has a large component of that, that it'd be wise for us to consider that too. There also is a limit physically to how much money you can spend in a short period of time. Again, I think we can do as well as any state, and we're going to move faster, I hope, than any other state. But I think you're going to want, in the end, a balance of spending and reduction, or at least moderation of taxes. Yeah. Well, let me say there's a line item for construction, but this is setting that aside. Setting that aside, there's still well over $1 billion, and it's going to flow through. There's no discretion about this right now. And this is a very interesting problem. In many, many states, it's not a problem. They need every penny of that just to get back to zero or close to zero. There are states that have cut. California has cut $7 billion out of education. That's bigger than the whole expenditure we make in Indiana. There are states that have cut 5%, 7%, and 10% of their education budgets. They don't have a dilemma. They need every penny just to keep the lights on. In our case, if we were to preserve education spending at today's levels, which is what our budget said, you'd get a 10% increase in education for 2 years. And then you would fall off a 10% cliff because we won't be able to fund it out there. So we're all going to have to work on this. The school budget people are aware of this. They're looking at it. We're visiting with them. In a way, it's a positive problem to have, but it will turn into a very serious problem if we mishandle it. And again, if the schools were to obligate themselves to spend at this higher level, and there won't be a chance in the world of coming close to it 2 years out.
Do you know how much of the package you'll have the sole authority to decide how to spend and how much the legislature will have to have a voice in?
Really don't. As the bill is written, it over and over again refers to the governor's will, and I think that in large part that's because of the Congress's and the president's desire for speed, but it's not clear yet. And it does, you know, let me say this, even though the bill, I believe, will charge the governors with taking the lead and making the decisions, we want as much as possible of this to be worked out mutually. We've already gotten some real good input from legislators, and I know we'll get lots more. But jobs and speed must be the goal. Let's not have any, let's not replicate the worst tendencies of Washington. Let's not have pork barreling creep in here. Let's not have non-jobs items smuggled in under the guise of stimulus. And let's not be dithering about it later when we could be putting people to work today.
What do you think is, you have a first blush idea of what the best job creating use of the money?
Well, history tells us, quite honestly, that spending government money doesn't typically work very well. That permanently lowering taxes works best. But that's not available in this bill, and so we want to spend it as wisely as we can. And let's recognize that if we do choose wisely, if this is done off the... We have priority lists of investments for Indiana's future that we have been working through. And if we can make some of those investments sooner, I hope they'll put somebody to work in the short term. I know they'll help keep people working and bring jobs in the future. So,
you mentioned keeping taxes down. Are you talking specifically at all about the unemployment insurance?
Well, it could be one excellent example. As you know, that addressing that issue, which predates the recession and has its own separate roots, is something we would have to do. We would have to do it if the economy was in great shape. And a part of that will be to pay back a very, you know, a debt we're incurring to the federal trust fund. And so that is certainly one candidate to avoid a big tax increase at a very tough time right now. Would probably be a very smart thing to do.
Could we use the money to pay for the capital improvement project for the Department of Correction instead of keeping those on our own budget?
Possibly. Very possibly. It's an interesting idea.
What about mass transit?
Yeah.
I know South Shore, they want to expand, but that's something that could take 8, 10, more years. You're talking about shovel ready, or are we talking about buying buses? What are we talking about?
Well, first of all, there is money marked off here for mass transit. So, and by the way, that includes airports and things like this. But beyond that, the best I can tell you is we're constantly going to return to two objectives: jobs now and speed. And so we're going to measure any idea, ours or somebody else's, against those two objectives. Is it really related, hopefully in the near term, or at least over time, to more jobs in Indiana? And secondly, how quickly can we get to it? How quickly can we get it going?
So do you anticipate that the Senate will make only minor changes?
We're told that there will be changes, but probably not fundamental. That's why we think we have a pretty reasonable sense from looking at the House bill. But I'm told that the two bodies have already been having informal sort of pre-conference discussions. But we won't know for some time. But we think we see the general size and direction now.
Well, and as the bill stands now, how much money would come to
it? In formula, based funding alone between $4 and $5 billion that we can see. And then, as I say, there's an enormous amount in that bill that is up for competitive grabs, and we're going to try to, you know, help Hoosier entities go after that too. But the task immediately before us will be how to deal with this really deluge of money. Again, our situation, there's an irony here. Our situation would be simpler if Indiana was more destitute. In many states, it's not complicated. Just send us the money and we'll try to keep the lights on. We have a different situation, and it has to be seen as great opportunity, although there's also danger if we were to bungle it. I really want to resist making comments about something I had no control over. I'll just say that I have great misgivings about the wisdom for our country, but I hope that it's going to work. We all pray that it will work and want it to succeed. And I'm just going to concentrate my efforts not on second-guessing what somebody somewhere else did, but on trying to make certain Indiana makes maximum effect, takes maximum advantage of this development.
Governor, how is this for the people who are unemployed? Does this mean jobs for them?
For some of them, but not everybody can jump on a road grader, obviously. That's why we have to look, as part of the package, I think, at things like that might encourage investment or at least keep taxes down across all kinds of businesses, because not everybody can go to work on a construction site or on a highway project or on a clean water investment. Well, we're not going to touch the major moves projects, and we're certainly not going to touch the state surplus now with billions of new dollars coming. I think those debates, if they were ever real ones, just are over. I think we ought to look at anybody's idea. I don't know what that list of projects had, really. I will say this. We have some which have long ago been vetted with the legislature and with people around the state. We have a priority list, and it's based really on economic value to Indiana. And my view is we should just work as far and as fast as we can down that list. And in particular, some project, and I know some on there, that's a brand new idea. Not a good thing, because you couldn't get it started for a year or two anyway. So again, jobs and speed is. Ought to be the touchstone, and if they have some that meet those tests, then we sure look at them.
Governor, are you saying $1 billion or more is going to flow to Indiana schools through a federal formula that we won't have any control over?
That is correct. And Mike, here's an additional complexity. Most of that money is going to flow through the Title I formula and part of it a special ed formula, so it is not going to go out to Indiana schools evenly. When I said 10% increase, that's an average figure, and there's a huge range. Based on the current iteration, increases, now again, let's just presume for the moment that we keep state funding where it is. We don't have to do that. But if we keep state funding where it is, increases for Indiana schools will range from a low of 2% to a high of 40% in Gary. 40% for 2 years, and then evaporate. So this is an interesting situation all by itself in terms of trying to smooth the line or avoid the cliff, as I say.
So what's your advice to schools on spending that?
It's a little soon to say. I can tell you what not to do, just as the state should not do it. Do not put it into the base of the budget. This is one-time money. And if you were to staff up in some huge way, you'd have to fire a lot of people in 2 years. No way of avoiding it, and no bailout possible. So, again, life would be simpler if we'd already cut spending for schools by 10%. This would just bring us back to the line. We'd know just what to do. But because Indiana has been planning to protect its school spending, this comes in on top. We're all going to have to really think this through and work together. And as I say, I know the school budget officers have spotted this and are already thinking hard about how do you manage this. I mean, we can make this a great opportunity, but it also has the risks. First, of setting up a terrible situation in 2 years. Second, of wasting a lot of money. So it's going to take some care and thought. No, but early in the week, and Carl's again simply going to move down the priority list those things that are truly shovel ready or could be, and have already been vetted as we know they're economically important to some area, some region, community. Those will be the first ones.
Has the job hired any extra engineers or anything to try to push forward some projects?
Not to my knowledge, although in the major moves era, they've had a lot because we have this record amount of money anyway. You know, as you know, Indiana's been breaking a record, and we're going to do it this year no matter what happens for road building. So all this comes in on top of that, and they did have to beef up just to manage the dollars they already had.
Does that end up priority list include either accelerating the timetable for the Evansville crane portion by 69 or starting the crane Minneapolis portion by 69?
I don't know. Probably not this first round, Brian, but I don't know the answer. I can't say wouldn't at some point.
Just a quick follow-up, but they don't have a finalized list, but the starting point is the priority list from wherever the major moves left off.
Yeah. Yeah, Carl's working on it right now, but it'll, in general, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Governor, we're told you're addressing the House Republican Caucus conference tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Simply because Mike Benz asked me to. And he's a friend. I've turned down an awful lot of these, and I would have turned down this one, except it was Mike asking, so.
What's the message?
I haven't decided yet.
Governor, the city of Gary has some budget problems. Is there any chance they could get some budget relief, or would that fail to meet the create jobs caveat?
All things are possible. I can only go back to saying that this cannot be a giant cookie jar for people's wish, long-cherished wish lists. We want to try to make sure every dollar goes to strengthening the Indiana economy and goes as quickly as possible. Now, strengthening our economy can include things that hire somebody right now and things that who have preferably things that both hire somebody now and create the conditions for more jobs in the future. But whether anything that helps Gary's internal problems can fit that description, I'm not sure. Maybe.
There were some projects that were delayed in the budget cuts last year, if I recall, state park pools and state police posts. Are those now been going to be built with this money?
They're possible. It's possible. There are a lot of things. There are certainly things in higher ed. As good, another good example that I think folks in both parties agree are good ideas, and the question was how quickly can you get to them? We'll probably pull some of those forward. It was they were always good ideas. Just the question is how much could you do within a balanced budget? And so yes, all those categories I think are at least conceivable. Well, I think that is the capital improvement in its broadest sense is going to be the single biggest category. But obviously, as we were talking about, avoiding tax increases, something that, and I think we ought to look for things, again, that benefit the broadest sweep of the economy. Again, that the building industries, housing and so forth, are likely to see a lot of activity here. But that's only a small percentage of Hoosier workers. And if you were just laid off at a retail or an RV business, think about it. Building all these projects is probably not going to get you employed anytime soon. So we have to look, and we have some, I think, luxury to look more broadly.
You said before you were very wary of them attaching a lot of strings in general.
Tell me
how many strings
they Well, I do hope this. Here's one area where I know many, many people and other states are asking the Senate to loosen the strings. They ignored our suggestion on highways, for instance. It's coming through the old highway formula, and as far as I can tell, you have to dot all the federal I's, which will slow things down in some cases. The education's a good example. There is no flexibility right now. It's going to pour through and go where those formulas say, whether that's the smartest thing for a state or not. And so I know there, I'm told the National Governors Association has asked for more flexibility there. And I know when I was visiting with the Democratic leadership about this yesterday, that was one of their questions. Could Indiana and the General Assembly have some ability to shape that enormous amount of money? In the House bill doesn't look like it, but maybe the final bill will give a little more opportunity for that.
So it does come with a lot of strings.
It does have, in my judgment, a lot of strings. I mean, a lot of it is right in these narrow categories. You simply have to spend $163 million on weatherization, or you have to spend a certain amount on higher ed or K-12 construction. In a perfect world, there might have been a lot more flexibility. We might have been able to get more of it. Let me put it this way. We would be able to get more of it to work quickly. Any state would, if you had more discretion. But again, we'll deal with what comes to us. Yes, we've asked all the delegation, particularly on this question of mics, for more flexibility if possible. And I think they're sympathetic and hope they can have some impact. All right, everybody. I know that's a lot to digest, but this will be continued.